You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
You probably know that in the year 1510, Martin Luther visited Rome, and he was trying to find God, and he was full of deep, unrequited desire to discover the core of what might be true about the God he needed. So in 1510, he went to Rome and crawled up on his knees the Spanish steps, which are still there. Some of you have seen them. And he came away from his intensely ascetic week in Rome in search of God, utterly sincere, totally having found nothing. It was a despairing non-encounter. And I compare it to a song you all remember by the Bee Gees from 1967. He was basically saying to God, in his 16th century manner, he was saying, as the Bee Gees said in 1967, "You don't know what it's like. Baby, you don't know what it's like to love somebody, to love somebody the way I love you." Now, when you were a teenager, in high school or in college, did anyone come up to you and sort of talk in that way? Did you ever have a guy, because usually it was a guy, in actual fact, come up to you in college or high school or something like that and protest how totally they were attracted and had fallen for you? And if you were the person to whom that was addressed, what was your usual reaction? Yuck! Gross! Go away! I am personal proof to tell you that that approach never once worked. Now, what Martin Luther discovered is that it's not about how much I love God that is the decisive element in a relationship. The decisive element in the relationship is how much does he love me. Love, in other words, has to come to you before it can come from you. Just think about your own relationships that you've had, especially romantic ones, because they are the most important. Don't let anyone tell you. Mother, father, sister, brother, they're very, very important. But the real heart of the matter is the romantic relationship. In experience, maybe it shouldn't be, but you'll find out as you go up in life, especially if you've loved and lost, that that's the heart of it. No, love has to come to you before it can come from you. We would say that it is the love that comes to you which creates the love coming from you. Now, I don't know if you remember who Sir Stafford Cripps was, but Sir Stafford Cripps was, I believe, the Chancellor of the Exchequer under Clement Attlee, which was the first Labour government that had kicked out Churchill and the Conservatives in 1945. This was the socialist government of Clement Attlee, and we think that they were all atheists, but there was a very strong Christian minority on the cabinet of Clement Attlee's Labour government in 1946 and 47, who were devout Christians. They were not members of the Church of England. They were all what they would call dissenters. But Sir Stafford Cripps was a man of enormous power, and he was approached by the Labour government's education arm and said, "We want to have education for all English young people, especially after the war, but we want to erase the specifically Christian element." They came to him ideologically and said, "We want to have good education for all our young people, but we must erase the church's role. They were surprised when Sir Stafford Cripps said, "No." Remember, he was a socialist laborite. "No, you can't have it. You can't have the fruit without the root." Now think of, memorize that. When you know somebody, when you talk about love, when you see people in their interactions, it's religious, but it's also completely horizontal. We see it empirically worked out in people's love. I can't love you without the root of having been loved. And that is what Luther discovered. If you had to write down one sentence of the Lutheran genesis in his interpretation of St. Paul in the Bible, it would be this. That's actually from 1 John. "We love because he first loved us." Now I'll give you one other example, and I'm done. An old friend of mine from Jacksonville, this is a true story, I've disguised the geography and the details, but an old friend of mine from Jacksonville was dying, and I went to see him. He was in the last phase of his human life. And he told me something. He said, 40 years ago, I was a young guy between my freshman and sophomore year at UNC, and I decided to do what a lot of my buddies did in those days, which was to go up to Nantucket, where Martha's Vineyard, to spend a summer, kind of like an intern. You may not remember this, but it was very common for people in the Southeast who thought they were somebody to go up and spend a summer in sort of preppy Elysium. They somehow thought they would derive some reflected glory. And there's a whole novel called The Summer Place that was made into a movie that's about this. And this young man flew up to Nantucket from Jacksonville in the middle of the summer. And while he was there, he had what we call a Summer of 42 moment. If you've ever seen the movie, The Summer of 42, watch it or don't. And he had a Summer of 42 moment in which he, from Jacksonville on Nantucket at age 19, fell in love with another intern who was lovely. And he didn't know how she felt about him. And as she drove him to the little Nantucket airport before Labor Day to go back to Florida, he looked at her as he was leaving the car, and she burst into tears. This is a totally true story. She burst into tears. She was very, very moved by his departure. Now, he's on his deathbed 40 years later, and he says, "You know, I never saw her again for a number of reasons, and I've been happily married for 35 years, and I've got a terrific young son who's a medical student, but there's one thing I want you to do for me before I die, Paul." I took a deep breath. He says, "If I give you this woman's number, whom I haven't seen in 40 years, would you call her and ask her one question? Did you mean it?" Now, can you believe that he actually wanted that on his deathbed in the Jacksonville hospital? But he did. It was happening. And what I learned is that often people are sort of holding back or hiding very legitimate, profound feelings of belovedness that are so strong that they're almost unable to admit it, because sometimes they come from a very distant geographically and temporally situation. And I learned from this man who's now dead, he died soon after that, and I didn't make the call. I was just too embarrassed. I feel badly. I was too embarrassed. Hey, I'm in Jacksonville Hospital, and you know who, he won't even remember his name, wants to know if you meant it. But what I learned is that we love because he first loved us. This man had suddenly been the object of love, and that had changed everything. Now, if that's true, if we love because he first loved us, or as 1 John 4:10 writes, in this is love, not that we loved God, that's the Bee Gees, but that he loved us and sent his son to be expiation for our sins. That is the anchor heart of our 1517 gospel. And I wonder if the secrets of your own hearts have in any fresh way been brought to your consciousness again now, such that the radical sweep of God's love for you might heal some of these lingering issues. I don't want to be like that guy in Jacksonville. Love him as I did. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.